And I, you know, that's not just a song. That's a fact. You can know. But you see, it's the blood of Christ. And we were singing about the blood. The blood makes you pure, and the word makes you sure. Well, be relaxed. We're going to be out of here well before midnight. It's good to see you. And I want to say this. I love the way you listen. You know, I go to a number of churches across this continent, and so many places I go, I must confess that I'm kind of glad to get away, because the put on kind of turns me off, you know. But you, and I'm not just saying this. I don't say things just to impress people. I'd say it because it's so. You know, I get to homes and they put on. You can tell they're putting on. They put on those cloth napkins. Now, there's nothing wrong with cloth napkins. But, you know, you can tell that they're not using them because they smell like mothballs. Because if they were using them on a regular basis, they wouldn't smell like mothballs, right? And then the lady sits down across the table hoping that you don't use it so she can just slip it back in the drawer again, you know. And, you know, you see all those kind of things. I was in a home very recently, and they had leg of lamb on Saturday, mint jelly, and all this stuff when the average American eats leftovers and, you know, sloppy joes and all of that. And then we were called to the table, and the 10-year-old boy says they had 7 pieces of silverware. And the boy says to his mom, "Mommy, which one of these do we start with?" And you see the same thing many times when you come into the church building. You see people, they put this special look on their face. Don't do that. Be yourself. You see, because if you do that, you'll miss all that God has for you. I'm going to be myself. I shared with you this morning, those of you who were here, I'm not trying to be Pastor Dar. I couldn't be him if I was stretched and bleached. I'm going to be me, man. It's easy for me to be me. And I'm not trying to make you laugh. You see, I learned years ago, just be yourself. And I have more fun now sick as a Christian than I did as a well sinner. But you see, we were brought up in a different period of time. As you remember, I'm 67 years old. You see, my children really think I'm ancient. But you see, there are those of you. You remember how we used to bathe in that number 3 tub around that pot-bellied stove? And then when you step out of the tub, they tell you, don't step on the floor, step on the paper, and you end up with Dick Tracy on your foot. Yeah, we've come a long ways. Now we got hot water running through the pipes, man. And, man, we wasn't raised that way. And I hear people saying, man, I'd like for those good old days. Not me, man. Not me, man. I thank God for water that runs through the pipe, not through the roof and the ceiling, man. Well, it's good to see you. Well, we're going to do just that. We started off this meeting by singing Jesus Saves. And friend, that's not just a song. That's a fact. And nobody can save like him. Nobody can satisfy like him. And nobody can keep like him. And how do we know that? What makes us so sure of that? It's the word that liveth and abideth forever. Now, there are only 2 classes of people in this room tonight. Only 2. You'd either saved by the marvelous, matchless grace of God. You'd indwelt by the Spirit of God. You may or you may not be enjoying your Christianity. Or you're still pressing and pounding a place on the broad road which leads to destruction. You might be religious, but you haven't believed. Chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And as a result, instead of having peace with God, instead of being an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus, this night, November the 4th, 1990, finds you still lost in Adam when you could be in Christ. So we want to share with you tonight in a down-to-earth manner. Our scripture tonight will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And that's encouraging, to come to a place where people bring their Bibles. I get to a lot of places and I say, they don't open their Bible, I open mine. And I say to them, what makes you so sure that I'm not reading from a Reader's Digest? The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let that do for our reading. I have in the margin of my Bible, see it big, keep it simple, and tell it like it is. See what big? The gospel. The gospel message is a power of God. The gospel is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the son of God with power, even by the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. It is, as a preacher I heard say way back in 1948, it is the sweetest message that ever fell from human lips upon human ears. And what is that message? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Now, friend, listen to me very carefully. I am not naive. I know what's happening. In fact, just before I came to this meeting, I talked to my wife by phone. Most of you know that my father owns AT&T, Sprint, MCI. Some of you are not sure about that, but I am. And because I'm sure about that, I get on the phone and I call my wife. And I found out that it quit snowing yesterday. See, it's snowing out our way, see? And it quit snowing, and of course the streets are clear. The snow is on the grass and, you know, like that in the parkways. But I also found out that two of our Colorado teams won football yesterday. And that was great, man. Because I was just in Nebraska a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about how they were going to do it to Colorado. Now I want to write some letters to them. And I'll probably do that this week. I just like to do that, man, you know. And then, of course, now I'm not talking about that professional team. I'm fed up with them. And then I know, and there's a lot of things. And you know something? I'm glad that I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to heaven not because I preach, but I'm going to heaven because of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I wasn't always this way. In fact, you'd find it hard to believe that I wasn't born this way the first time. Oh, no, I don't mean what you're thinking. I don't mean that I wasn't born with this year-round tan. This is not CNC or copper tone. This is me. But what I mean, that I wasn't born with the joy and the peace and the life that I now possess in this 90th year of the 20th century. 67 years ago, I was born the first time. According to my mom, I was a cute little brown package. And I like to remember that, you know. So when I see a lady with a little baby, I say to her, you know, it's hard to believe I used to be that cute. And boy, that gets her attention, you know. But I was born the first time. And according to the word of God, when I came, I was a sinner. Not by practice, but the very fact that I was a human being. And the Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all, for that all have sinned. Seven verses later, Romans 5:19, we read, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Even so, by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. You see, I became a sinner in Adam, and so because I didn't die before I reached the age of accountability, whatever that is, what Jesus said to Nicodemus, he says to me, he says to you, you must be born again. Now, I recognize that there are a number of people, men and women in this place who are saved. That makes you my brother in Christ, my sister in Christ. We belong to the same family, and we can sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. But in all probability, there are some here who've been turned off. And I meet a lot of people who are turned off. They're turned off by overzealous Christians. And so I was glad that Pastor Dar mentioned there'll be no manipulating in these meetings. They don't manipulate anyway here. No, it isn't trying to get you to the altar. The only reason the invitation is given so that somebody may talk to you and show you from the word of God how all of your sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, you are free. Or it could be that you're a Christian, but you're frustrated. You're on the way to heaven, but you're not enjoying the trip. You're like my wife's husband used to be, a straight pin Christian, headed one way and pointed the other. It could well be that you're here tonight as man and wife, and it's been a long time since you have held hands and prayed together. It's been a long time since you've looked into each other's arms or looked by faith into the face of the Lord and said, in the words of the poet, Lord Jesus, I love you. And though the Spirit of the living God, who is the author of the book, has many times tugged very gently on the cords of your heart, this very night finds you still frustrated. You know what Jesus says, but you don't really believe that. And what did he say? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And four verses later, John 8:36, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Well, here we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, not just the words of Paul the apostle. No, it's Paul the apostle. And what was he? He was just simply like this too. He was a channel. For it is he who says by the Spirit of God, as he writes in the second letter, for we have this treasured in earthen vessels that the excellent, or rather first, two more chapters later, we have this treasured in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But as he writes to the saints at Corinth and to all who are in Christ Jesus, so that takes in you and I here in Pennsylvania, that takes in the Christians in Colorado, that takes in the Christians wherever they're found. And so the Spirit of God is writing to Christians. And Paul is just simply bearing his heart. He didn't come with any 35 or 40 cent words. He could have, because he was an intellectual. I mean, he exceeded all of his contemporaries. I mean, he was religious at one time, but not right with God. And you, like I, have read of his conversion in Acts chapter 9. How did he had on his possession what we would call subpoenas that gave him the authority to go into huts, go into tents, and go into little cottages of people who had pledged their allegiance to the Lord Jesus and bring them bound to Jerusalem. It was on such an occasion as that, as if the God of the universe said, that is enough. You know what that thrills me? You see, I don't get uptight about what's happening in Kuwait. I don't get uptight what's happening in any part of the world. You know why? The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the heart of the king, hey, that takes in Saddam Hussein. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. You see, the Lord isn't up there and his hands are tied. Man, listen, nothing can happen unless he allows it. Now, there's certain things that I don't understand about God, and that doesn't bother me a bit, because there are things in everyday life I don't understand. I look at the cows on the hills and in the fields out here just in beautiful Pennsylvania, and I don't understand how they can eat that green grass and that grain, and the milk never comes out green, but it don't. Right? You who are a farmer know that, and if it did come out green, you couldn't let that guy take it to the dairy. No, you couldn't pump it in his tank. And I don't understand electricity. I know, don't go there with wet hands. Both of my brothers were electrician, but I know that you hit the switch and make sure your hands are dry. I don't know what it looks like. I can tell you what it feels like. Ah, friend, but our feelings are like the weather. There's a lot of things in everyday life I don't understand. Not at all. But friend, I don't let that bother me. You see, friend, because when we're talking about it's faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the word of God says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear me tell what my children would call jokes. Even my wife, she was here. I would even be looking her direction. If she was sitting over there, I'd look over her. Because as soon as I start telling one of those, she'd give me the signal. And that's confusing to me, as if, and then on the way home, she says, now what connection did that joke have with what you were speaking on? I say none. It just was twirling around up there. And the only way I could get any relief was to let it out. She used to get embarrassed because, you see, it's nothing for us to go to, like one of these smorgasbord buffets, and on a Sunday, how crowded places are, and to stand in a line, and it's nothing for me to ask a total stranger. Are you sure you don't want to pick up the tab for ours? And people just kind of look at you, man. I didn't get it, so you ask them again. Are you sure you don't want to pick up the tab for ours? And the guy says, oh, no. I said, oh, it's okay. The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive. It didn't say when. And I just keep on asking, would you believe? Twice already I've had people to buy my meal for me. And I thank God for that, you know. But my wife used to be embarrassed about that. Well, I don't get embarrassed about that. And if I did, I couldn't blush. You see, and when you really realize who you are, you see, friend, and it wasn't always that way. That's the reason I'm so glad to be saved. I'm glad, Pastor Dar, for preachers who just simply told it like it was. I was in a Swedish church. You can tell by looking at me that I'm no Swede. I wasn't a member of the church. I lived in Chicago at the time, and I couldn't stay away from the place. The Holy Spirit was drawn on the very cords of my heart. And these fellas were just telling it like it is about the Lord Jesus. And friend, there wasn't a verse, there wasn't an incident in the life of the Lord that they shared that I hadn't already heard about. But I didn't believe that. So you see, my friend, it isn't just hearing, it's believing. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Maybe you've come across some overzealous believer and they've tried to write you up until you've been turned off and you turn off the God of the universe. Or maybe you've seen somebody, maybe that just, you know, they have a language, but they don't have the life. And you say, well, they're hypocrites. They're phonies. Ah, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about him, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We're speaking about the Christ of whom the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then it says to us as Christians in verse 10, and we are complete in him who is ahead of all principality and power. And I want to see people get saved. Now, I realize that it isn't just walking to the altar. You can walk to this altar till you wear a rug out. But hey, after you do, you still must. There must be repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I appreciate the word of God. I appreciate Paul the apostle. He refers to the believers as brethren. He says, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or a wisdom declared in unto you the testimony of God. In other words, it wasn't any put on. And friend, you know as well as I, what's the need of using 35 and 40 cent adjectives? Tell it like it is. You know as well as I do that if this place, God forbid, would burst aflame right now, we would not be floundering around for the 35 or the 40 cent adjective. We'd exclaim, fire, and get out of here. And the closest door would be mine. It's the same way when you're talking about the Lord. You tell it like it is. And why? Look at him. See him as he walks the Galilean seashore. Listen to his words to a couple fishermen. Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Consider how many times he said it, only once, and he got the message. And down the bank a bit farther he goes. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, had a lucrative fishing business. And he says similar words to them. Why, there was that about him. There was that magnetism about him. Why, little children were brought to him. On one occasion when the infants were bought, it was disciples in their zeal that would have pushed them aside. And it was the Lord Jesus who said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not for such. And let me share with you, friend, I don't talk this way because I'm a preacher. I talk this way because there's nothing else worth talking about. You won't say amen to that, but that's a fact, man. There's nothing else really worth talking about. You see, the things that we see with our eyes and the things that we can handle with our hands, we're going to leave one of these days. We brought nothing into this world as certain we can carry nothing out. And the Bible tells us in a down-to-earth language. That's what the Bible tells us. It is appointed unto men once to die, after this a judgment. And you don't come to a meeting like this to be scared. You don't get scared into the family of God. You get loved into the family of God. Jeremiah the weeping prophet said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's the reason I'm a Christian. You see, I had a real problem. You'd find it hard to believe, man. I used to have an inferiority complex. Why, there's some of you think I'm trying to make, excuse me. You think I was trying to make you laugh when I used to read the label on the Clorox bottle because, you see, I came up and when I came up on Chicago's south side, I thought it was something wrong being this color. Really, I did. Man, my mom went to work one day. I was going to change that. Got that Clorox bottle and poured it in that number three tub. And I thought, well, I don't want to ruin my body. I better catch it on my foot or someplace where it's always covered if it messes it up. and put almost a gallon of that stuff in that tub and put it on an angle and soak my foot, and man, it didn't change the color. And I don't believe what I read on the Clorox bottle. It don't bleach everything white. No, it don't. Now you said, hey, you wasn't that crazy. Yes, I was, man. But you see, now I know what I am. I know that God has made me this way. And he's made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And so I'm proud of my hair. I said to some ladies today, right here in this place, they had these nice hairdos, and a lot of you got them like that. And I like those hairdos. You don't have to shake it, and it don't keep out of your eyes. You call it a TWA. What is that? A teeny weeny afro. When I discovered the Lord gave me the nose like this, sort of flat. The Lord gave me the lips, and I don't get trying to change. And man, when I'm standing under the sun lamp, it's just to have fun. It isn't to get any darker. I'm well pleased with the complexion God has given me. But I had to become a Christian to learn that, you see. And I'm no longer inferior. I'm not putting myself down, because I see myself now as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I'm not on the winning side. You're not on the winning side as a Christian. You're on the side that has already won. Hey, man, you're in. Sure, our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But man, listen, he's in. God has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so you say, man, you're excited. I am excited. I'm excited because of who's living on the inside, the Lord Jesus and all of his resurrection life and power. And I tell you how I used to feel. I used to express myself thus. I wish sometimes I could get in unbelievers and believe for them. And my dear wife, Pearl, says, honey, don't say that. I said, why? She says, you see, you can't live in them. If it was possible that you could get in them and believe for them, you couldn't live in them. And as soon as you get out, they'd be back in the same dilemma. And so I can't do that. I quit saying that. I do have the message at work. And the message is the word of God. It is the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And man, don't get all bent out of shape about people making fun of you. I was speaking in a prison here not too many months ago down in Chattahoochee, Florida. Young black fella jumped up while I was speaking, and I had never had that happen before. He says, man, I don't dig that. I say, what's your problem? He says, I don't believe in hell. I say, great. Don't die. He sat down like he had been shot. You don't go try to hell scare people, but he just said, I just said, great, don't die. Man, I know we're leaving here. Most of us adults are so sure we're leaving here. We got life insurance, right? The only reason I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm expecting any minute the uppertaker. Because the Bible says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hey, would you have any idea what would happen if the Lord should come tonight? Hey, there wouldn't be a Christian in this place left. Not one. There'd be clothes on the floor, eyeglasses, bridges, false teeth, wigs. They'd be left. You see, because those things are not going to be changed, we're going to be changed. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. But in the meantime, friend, we don't have to go through the motions. We don't have to endure. We don't have to take our cue from the world. When the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is of the world and not of the Father. And then what does it say? Listen to what the word says. Verse 17, 1 John chapter 2. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so Paul, an intellectual, could have talked about anything, anybody, anytime, any place. And yet, down to earth I speak, he had one message. And his message was Christ crucified, buried, risen, dwelling in his people, and coming back again. The theologians and the historians tell us that everywhere he went, there was a riot or a revival. And sometimes both. because he was consistently lifting up Jesus Christ, who says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so you see, my friend, it is not philosophy that we share with you. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, the Spirit of God through Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. But it's the word that liveth and abideth forever. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And especially in regards to the gospel. Did you not know, my friend? You can know all the Bible stories. You can know about David and the five stones that he got from the brook Kidron. You can name all of the animals, if there was listed, that Noah took into the ark. You can name all the godly kings of Judah and the ungodly kings of Israel. Yes, you can name the prophets minor and major. But friend, the question is, do you know personally Jesus Christ? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or let me put it this way, not trying to scare you, but speaking very down to earth. Can you afford to quit breathing right now? I don't say that because I'm preaching. No, but that's a fact. I can afford to just drop here to lifeless hump. And before dark and call my wife, I'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've deposited or committed to him against that day. You see, it is faith in Christ. It isn't some sort of feeling. I like to emphasize that. You see, because I was raised that way, you got to feel something. No, it's no feeling. It is faith. And faith, let me repeat it again, it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Paul says, I determine. And that's what it is. You see, when I first started out, I guess we have to learn a lot of things. You know, when you're young, you think you know a lot of things. And then as you keep on growing older and matured, and you find out there's a lot of things you don't know. You'd say amen to that, right? And you say, boy, if I had it to do all over again, I'd do it a different way. And we all say that. But then we got the wonderful Bible exhortation that says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to the things which are before. So how we blew it back then, and or even the successes back then. Ah, forget that. It's now. That's what time it is on God's clock. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And but we learn. But you can't learn apart from being in the Word. Now, personally, I wish that I could provoke. I don't mind saying that. I wish I could provoke people to be consistently in the Word. As I mentioned this morning, I don't read the Word because I'm a preacher. I get into the Word. I write some people. I see them here tonight, and I write them, and I'm always sharing with them about the Word. And we talk to in the letters and talk over the phone about what is ours in Christ now. And you don't really have to wait till you get to heaven. Oh, no. I can hardly wait till I get to heaven. I jokingly say, man, I can hardly wait, man. You know, I'm one of those who loves watermelon. I really love it. It gets me, you got to stop for the seeds. In heaven, there'll be no seeds. You say, nah, come on. Can you imagine spitting seeds, watermelon seeds on the streets of gold? I get to thinking of things like that. And, you know, I tell people, man, I can hardly wait till I get to heaven. And, man, most of the places I go, I was in Nebraska week before last, and they brought me a great big watermelon on the last night, you know. Well, I had to cut it up and share it with the people. Can you see me getting on United with a watermelon under my arm? No, man, they don't do it like that, you know. I'd probably have to share it with the security. But I love things like that. But in the meantime, man, you can enjoy now. It's knowing what is ours now. And so Paul says, I determine, I purpose in my heart not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you not know, my friend, that wisdom is not yours, wisdom is not mine, until first of all we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, of whom the Bible says, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I don't go around knocking education. I know there are educators in this audience tonight. And because I was too stupid to go to school, I ran away from home at 15 and a half and hoboed all over this country searching for something or someone that would stop the knowing going on deep down inside. Ah, but my friend, listen to me very carefully. There is nothing that will compare with the wisdom that is from above, that the Bible says is first pure and peaceable and gentle and easily to be entreated. And that wisdom is yours and mine when he is on the inside. But you say, but I'm not experiencing, I'm not experiencing anything like that. It could be that you're not drawing on it. That's all. You're not drawing on the Lord. Maybe you don't know from the scriptures what is yours that's available to us now. You see, God's people, man, should be the most intelligent. God's people should be the wisest. God's people should be the most joyous. When I stand up gently like I did this morning and say to you something like, smile, don't sit there looking like you've been weaned on a dill pickle or baptized in lemon juice. That isn't to get you to laugh. I met a couple greeters in the church this morning, but they were different. I was in a church a few weeks ago, and they had a couple. In fact, I said that to the greeters this morning. I go to some of these churches, and they got greeters, and they stand up looking like Mr. Dominguez Pocahontas. Just looking so sad, man. Man, if I didn't know any better, I'd back up. I didn't have to speak, I'd back up and leave the place. Look like whatever they got is eating on them. They like to get rid of it. Man, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you spell joy in the Keystone State like we spell it in Colorado, J-O-Y. Jesus owns you. And the word of God says, whom have ye not seen, ye love. In whom though now you see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know why I'm excited? I'll tell you why I'm excited. I was on the way to hell. If I had what I deserve, I would be there. And I thank God for the marvelous grace of God. I thank God for what the Bible says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I thank God that the God of the universe hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. This righteousness that he has provided in the person of his son, it's unto all. But it's only upon those that believe. And so that's the message that Paul was sharing everywhere he went. And things happened. There were some who believed and there were some who believed not. And you'll find that in every walk of life. Now I had to learn that I'm not in sales. I'm in presentation. My business is a Christian. The Lord is the one who gave me this ability to speak. The Lord is the one who gives me wit. One man said, where do you get all that wit? From the Lord, sir. You know anybody that the devil's given any? When the devil gets through with you, you're either a nitwit or a halfwit. And I want to use it for his glory. And I have a ball doing it. And I'm learning. You know, my grandchildren, they laugh at me. And my children used to say, oh, Daddy, every time you turn around, you're preaching. Because my wife would send me to the store with a list of stuff. And I'd be digging in the frozen food bin. And somebody would say, are you from Africa? I like that, man. They have asked for it. Don't get mad. Don't get all bent out of shape. Put that list back in my pocket. Tell them where I'm from. Tell them where I'm going. And the first thing you know, man, you're talking to them about the Lord. Or like one gentleman just a few weeks ago, we're both headed for the same checkout counter. I said, go ahead, sir. I got more money than I got time. He said, you said that backwards, didn't you? I said, oh, no, sir. He said, what kind of work you do? I said, oh, man, I don't work. Just give him time to let that sink in. And he said, what are you? I'm a heart specialist, man. And would you believe it? Nobody got waited on because I was talking to him and the clerk wanted us to proceed on. But man, I like that. The Lord has made me that way. You say, well, you can only do that in church. Who says so? Don't tell me, man. You can get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a football fan. I see what happens, man, when those guys make a score. You go to some of those school games, do you not? Some of you do. You go to those school games. Maybe you don't know anything about football. Used to go to those baseball games, and I'd hear those mothers from the third base dugout. Man, they sound real quiet on Sunday morning, but you ought to hear them behind that dugout. Send to that umpire. You want my glasses? That was no ball. That was a strike. Hit it, Johnny. You can do it. They get excited then. But when you get excited about Jesus, they say you're a fanatic. Well, you just happen to be looking at one. I just happen to be in color, man. I'm going to enjoy my stay on the planet. But in the meantime, just keep on sharing Christ, preaching Christ, crucified, buried, risen, dwelling in his people, and he's coming back again. You said, I got problems. Hey, you know the song. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You got a friend in Jesus Christ, and you can trust him. Just be honest. I don't understand how he's going to do it. Neither do I. But the word says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I like verse 3, where the apostle by the Holy Spirit says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And for a long time, I used to wonder, what did he mean by that? What did he mean that when he stood up to speak, his knees were knocking together? Did he really mean that he had butterflies deep down inside? You've had butterflies, haven't you, when you've been called on to do something? You've ever had that experience? Maybe not as an adult, but as a younger person, I've had them. And there's nothing wrong with having butterflies. You just teach them to fly in formations. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Many times those butterflies are because we're afraid that we won't come off as Mr. or Mrs. Perfection. And the only perfect one that ever hit the planet is Jesus Christ. He knew no sin, but he was made to be sin for us. And so I've had that. I remember when I first started speaking, I was given 10 minutes to speak to some young people. And I wondered, 10 minutes? Man, my message was just a minute and a half long. What am I going to be doing for the other 8.5 minutes? And my stomach felt like it was just flopped loose on one end, just flopping around. And I was afraid. That was fear. In fact, would you believe it? I used to be so uptight that I couldn't eat. Passing up good old roast beef and mashed potatoes and green beans. And one day, man, the Lord got through to me. And I was in Phoenix, Arizona, speaking to a group of Christian businessmen at a banquet. And the chairman's wife, she didn't feel like eating, man, all that good thick roast beef, man, and those potatoes. And she said, Sam, what am I going to do with this food? I said, you leave it there, and when I finish mine, we'll just switch plates. She says, and speak too? I said, look, you don't speak on the power of roast beef. You speak in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I had to learn because I got to eating too much. I'd eat 2 or 3 plates of food at a banquet. Boy, but now I learned. But you see, I don't let that. You probably heard about the preacher. He said, well, they wanted to feed him. And he said, no, I better speak first. You heard that one, haven't you? No, you didn't hear that one? Oh, he went to this. And so he went to the meeting and he spoke and the little boy went with him. And when he got back from the meeting, they asked the little boy, how was it? He said, he might as well eat. You see, to blame it. It has nothing to do with that you take in, you know, of the food. But it does have to do with what you take in of the word. And I get it. That made me think of another one. I just got to share it with you because it's twirling around up there. Coming in this home, you know, and there was a couple of us preachers there. And at my plate, they had silverware. But at the other preacher's plate, they didn't have any silverware. And, you know, and they asked him to give thanks. And so he gave thanks. Well, when it came time to eat, it was awkward. He couldn't have any. He couldn't start. And so the mother jumped on the 12-year-old girl who helped her set the table. And she says, so-and-so, how come you didn't put anything by the preacher's plate? Well, Mama, you said he ate like a horse. So you see, my friend, if you don't want it out, don't say it in front of the children. Because, you see, they don't put on, man. They just tell it like it is. And sometimes I feel I could write a book for the things I hear, you know, and see in homes, you know, and it's just real funny sometimes. And sometimes if the Lord lays upon my heart, I will. But, you know, sometimes I get to thinking about those. I can be sitting on a platform waiting to speak. Or I can be sitting minding my business in a departure area in the lounge of an airport. And those things that come to mind and I start laughing and people look at you like, what's wrong with him? And sometimes I have to tell them, total strangers, just what I was thinking about. And they don't get it, you know. Some people don't get anything. You know, you got to write them a letter, you know, or spell it out for them, you know. And if you do that, it just takes all the fun out of it. You probably know, especially, I know at this church, you know, we were having a Sunday school lesson this morning about Josiah in the Old Testament. And I go to a church and man, and they're studying the Old Testament. And I say to the man who's teaching, I said, oh, then you know. There's a light in every Jewish grave. You see that quizzical look come on his face. You can see him thinking. He says, no. I said, but you're teaching in the Old Testament. He says, no, I didn't know that. I said, an Israelite man. And he can't believe it. but it makes them think. It's a simplicity, you see, and that's the same way. You see, we miss the simplicity which is in Christ. We're programmed to make it so highfalutin and talk over people's heads when you just tell it like it is and then leave the results with the Spirit of God, and nobody can do it like him. He doesn't have to do it at the conclusion. He doesn't have to do it at the invitation and the service here any night this week. But he'll do it. A person can be sitting it at home, laying in the bed, on their job, right in their car. And the Spirit of God is the one that tugs very gently on their heartstrings, whether saved or unsaved. And he's the one that does it because he testifies of Christ. And Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. See? See, and so he's the one that does it. And that's the reason I carry the two. We're just channels to be abandoned, available to the Lord, and allow him to just flow through us in all of his power and preciousness. And just say as the Lord lays it upon your heart. And I'm learning to do that now. And friend, it works. Did you not know this meeting is being recorded in the eternal realm? Did you not know that eternity is recording this meeting and it's all coming up again? It could be, sir, that you're here and you're unsaved. And here you are, 50, 60 years old, maybe. Or maybe you're just you're younger than that. But you're still pressing and pounding a place on the broad road, which leads to destruction. For the third time, let me say, there'll be no manipulating in this meeting. Nobody's trying to get your name on the dotted line. We've learned here at this very location that God isn't looking for ink. He's looking for blood. And yours won't do. It's the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifested in these last times for us. Or it could be that you're a Christian here, but you're not enjoying the trip. You're like a yo-yo. You're hot and cold. You're up and down. One time you enjoy the Lord, and then most of the time you don't. And it's simply because you're not drawing on him. You're not letting him be who he is, and you're trying to help God. And he needs our help like we need a third leg. I had to learn that. I thought, man, I could do it. And the Lord doesn't need my help. And he spoke to me very vividly from John 15. He says, without me, ye can do nothing. Then I love this. I used this one way back in the 60s with the racial turmoil. And I still take advantage of the racial turmoil. In fact, I carry flesh-colored band-aids in my Bible. You wouldn't see them from here, but I carry them. I make my own. I get a regular band-aid and tape electrician's tape over it. Take the scissors and trim it. And then I go into a drugstore and say, can I have a package of these? And they can't believe it, you know. I've had them snatch it out of my hand, and they say, that's been made. Well, they all been made. None of them been created. And so I take advantage of that. But verse 4, where the apostle says, in my speech and my preaching was in not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Let me share this with you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who really gets through to people. Zechariah said it this way, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Now, I've already mentioned what Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You see, my friend, it isn't us helping the Lord. It is us allowing the Lord, who in the person of the Holy Spirit is the worker in us. And yet God gives us credit as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. But it's actually the Lord who does the work. Sure, I'm glad for a godly mother who prayed for me. I'm glad for a wife who prayed for me when I was a straight pin Christian. And man, she had to pray over the course of years. Because you see, I was a Christian, but I wasn't enjoying the trip. I used to catch her praying for me because I had a job where I worked downstairs in the factory and had an apartment up over the office in the same building. 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning, I'd come up to get a piece of fruit or a piece of cake or a cookie. And many of the times when I caught my wife and she'd be on her face before God, oh, God, do something for Sam. And I was provoked. I was mad. I wanted to throw something at her. And I know it was the Spirit of God that preserved her and protected her. You say, man, you was that crazy? Yeah, I was that crazy. But God answered her prayer. Now we have a ball. We're not together much. I'm on the road 50% of the time. She travels with me more now than she used to. I told her, I said, honey, we ought to travel more together. A lot of places I go, they don't want to believe I'm married. But I thank God. And then we've learned, and let me say this because you won't ask the question. And some people say, well, how does your wife take it? Oh, easy. She sews and I preach and we have a ball. I don't get in her hair when I'm home. I work in the yard, write letters, and read books and go to shopping. I do most of the shopping. I love to shop, man. I just love to shop. And one day I made a mistake. You know, does it Wednesday the sales come out in your paper? Do you have that here? You know, and I went to the wrong store, man, and they had soup on sale, and I went to the wrong store. And the girl said, because we shop different. The wife will go to 5 different stores and then go back to the first store, right? Oh, yeah, I'm hitting it home. You know what I mean. I used to be that way. Us guys, man, what do we like? We like automotive. We like hardware. We like sporting, you know, all that kind of goods. And I drag my wife to those places, and then when she say, let's go up to the second floor, then what's on the second floor? Ladies' clothes. Who wants to see ladies' clothes? Ladies do. And you go up to the third floor, there's household goods. Who wants to see that? And you know, I'm confessing to you, I used to get mad. My bottom lip would drop, and the wife didn't say anything, but the Holy Spirit did. You know what the Holy Spirit said? Sam, that's you. That's not the Lord. And now, you know something? After I yielded to the Lord, I can outlast the average lady in the average mall. See, it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I was up in Sarnia, Ontario. This is a lady's store. And they don't buy anything for men. The cheapest blouse in there was $32.50. And the lady didn't want to buy anything. She just said, would you go with me? And I went. Even tried on a fur coat. But I have fun, you know. But you see, it isn't me. It's the Lord in me. Nobody says, oh, well, I can't do that. I can do all things through Christ. You're letting the Lord be who he is. It isn't a matter of you trying to be like somebody else. You're just simply letting the Lord. Can you imagine the Lord being short-fused? Can you imagine the Lord losing his cool? It's the Lord who lives his life in us. Isn't that what the Bible says? Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. And oh, let me share this with you. Because so many times people get the wrong impression. They get the wrong idea. Oh, no, it never makes you perfect. The Lord in you is perfect. It isn't us producing for him. It isn't us performing for him. It is us allowing him who's living inside in all of his resurrection life to be who he is. And as I said this morning, and I'll be saying that until this tongue quits going up and down. It isn't a matter of competing with somebody else or trying to be like somebody else. I've read all kind of books and still do. Good ones and bad ones. And I've never read a book where I wanted to be like the individual in the book. I want to be Sam Dalton. Totally yielded to the Lord, who inside is dwelling in all of his resurrection life and power. And that takes out all the strain. All I want to do for the glory of God is to be like a breath of fresh air. Psalms 37:4 does it for me. And what does it say? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And the word delight, D-E-L-I-G-H-T. Daily, everything laid into God's hand trustingly. But it's in him. It's not in the work of the Lord. It's not in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not in the blessings or the benefits of the Lord. It's in the Lord himself, the person who today lives in the power of an endless life, who in Matthew chapter 11 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We're going to sing that grand old hymn of the faith, number 188 in our books. Come every soul by sin oppressed, has mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. And then the writer goes on to say, only trust him. Don't try to feel him. Don't try to figure him out. How can we figure out one whose ways are past finding out, whose judgments are unsearchable? And whatever your need may be tonight, let me make it clear. If you sit there and there's a want to deep down inside, and if even if we stand as we sing and there's a want to deep down inside, that's the Lord. Oh, lady, we'd like to talk to you tonight. We'd like to show you from the word. And you can leave this place tonight with the knowledge of sins forgiven, iniquities pardoned. You can leave this place free in Jesus Christ. Enjoying the trip. God grant that this might be your portion for his name and mercy's sake as we sing 188.